Welcome to Simple Living Works, Episode 4. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host to present the first part of Alternative's award-winning program, Break Forth into Joy, Beyond a Consumer Lifestyle, and to talk about simplifying fall festivals like Thanksgiving, Halloween, and Advent. To learn more about Simple Living Works, our mission, for example, please listen to our Getting Acquainted episodes, especially numbers 1 and 2. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live. In this episode, we hear John Pitney's version of that saying in song. See the music credit in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. I'm glad you're with me.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.
So many of us are overwhelmed by daily demands. Too many bills, not enough money, long work hours, not enough sleep, too many commitments, and not enough time for family, friends, and God. In our desperate search for the good life, we seem to have forgotten what is truly important. We long for a life more fulfilling and joyful. Break Forth into Joy helps us take a critical look at our lifestyle choices and the shape our lives have taken. It helps us examine our search for fulfillment and security through material possessions and reminds us of biblical teachings on wealth and poverty. We realize how our obsession with buying and owning affects the earth, other people, and the human spirit. By sharing feelings, thoughts, and practical ideas from a variety of people who struggle to live faithfully in the consumer society, it calls us toward a lifestyle that is more fulfilling and joyful. Break Forth into Joy itself is a 15 minutes. In the next episode, hear three additional 10-minute bonus segments for people featured in this part. These additional sections have themes of freedom and possessions, family and children, and taking action. Though it is not specifically about Christmas, this is very relevant to Christmas. Break Forth into Joy, Beyond a Consumer Lifestyle, won the best in class in the religious division at the Dallas International Film Festival. It has a free study action guide when you're ready to use it at your church or in your group. The links to the study action guide as well as the video version are in the show notes.
Ultimate. Unforgettable.
Feel good.
You need more. Make your dreams come true. Simple. Easy.
Complete satisfaction.
You can have it all.
Power.
Set your spirit free.
Magic.
Escape.
Sexy.
Alive with pleasure.
The perfect body.
Relax.
You need more.
You deserve love. Exciting.
Have it all.
If I'm bored or it's a day when I feel very bad about myself, the first thing I think of doing is, well, maybe I'll go to the shopping mall. And if I could just get to that mall and buy something new, I'm sure I'll feel better.
The less you have, the more emotionally stable you are, because there are less things consuming you.
The problem with our defining ourselves by our job and the work we do is that when we are not doing it, we lose ourselves. So when we lose ourselves, we have to be finding something else to do. And very often, the whole business of consumerism is filling that gap.
TV is a drug. I really think it is. It draws you in. It saps your mind. It feeds you messages that you maybe wouldn't be feeding yourself. And after a while, you don't hear it and see it anymore. You just accept it.
Consumerism is all around us. We can't get away from it. In my neighborhood, there are billboards. I mean, people look at TV all day, and you're constantly bombarded with what to have, what to want. Everything glitters in America.
For many, life is more crowded than it used to be. There is more to experience, more to buy, more than we can fit into our lives. Our families, our spiritual lives, meaningful work, rest, all are crowded out by the demands of getting through the day. Not enough sleep, not enough money, too much pressure and stress, too many bills to pay. We are convinced that if we buy one more this or one more that, we'll be happy. But time after time, we are disappointed.
America's a real difficult country, I think, to exist in and not be a consumer. And it takes a great deal of fortitude and strength to say no to all the temptations that are thrown in front of you. Because if you don't, you will constantly want. And that's not the answer. That's not the answer.
The difference between want and needs is that when you take care of a need, it's satisfied, my need for shelter, food, you know, transportation. But when I take care of a want, there's always one right behind it. And as soon as I satisfy one want, there's something else kind of screaming out, buy me, get me, have me. And I never satisfy that. I never quench that thirst.
You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them in a bag with holes.
The fact is that the culture we have created is not just damaging to our individual lives, it affects all of creation. The environment suffers, other people suffer, our souls suffer.
If you are poor in a consumerist society, you develop quite a bit of anger when you don't consume, because you do see everybody else consuming. And that anger can turn into violence.
We're all stewards on this earth, to me, and it's a matter of how much do I take for what I want? How much do I see that I need and then therefore try to go after?
A lot of people have tendencies to be people pleasers, and so we get involved, we say yes to too many things, we don't help each other to say no. Sometimes I think we secretly like the fact that we're asked to be so busy because we derive our worth from it.
American lifestyle is just fast-paced. We have to accomplish so much, we have to do so much, we have to compete and keep up with our neighbors. If our neighbors get a new car, we have to get a new car. If our neighbors take a vacation, we have to take a vacation. So what you end up doing is not being yourself, you're sort of emulating others to keep up with them to say, I've done something, you know. And it's sort of, it's not a real you.
We just didn't feel good. And we were young, and we were supposed to feel good. And we remember saying, you know, why aren't we feeling the way that we think we should feel? We both had CAT scans for headaches, and we did the whole medical thing. And we finally just decided it was the way that we were choosing to live our life.
And everything we were doing was wonderful. All the things we volunteered for, the work we did was terrific. It was all meaningful, but it was too much. And I've come away with a question that I have yet to hear a good answer to, and that is, whoever told us that we're supposed to burn ourselves out for the Lord?
How do we change our direction? How can we change our relationship with a culture that pressures us so constantly? How can we become individuals and communities that are accountable to God and the whole of God's creation?
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
In the Native American community, we often say that there is much noise in the universe. Some of it is empty noise. Some of it is noise that feeds the soul. And if it feeds the soul, it feeds also the entire being. And by feeding the entire being, it feeds the entire creation.
We spend all of our time acquiring things, possessions, and protecting our possessions. And sometimes it takes real tragedies in life to bring us to the point where we understand what really counts, and that is friends and family and helping other people.
It's not that people can't have things or own things, it's that we don't want the things to own us. And that's the problem that we had. Our things had started to own us, and we were working to have the things. And I think when people overextend themselves emotionally or financially, or overextend themselves time-wise, they're really putting themselves in little prisons.
That's what things are. They're only for a moment, and after that, you're looking for something else to fill that void. And I think you have to find it within yourself and in the relationship with a higher being, a higher spirit.
I think our motivation should be to do what we love doing, and that we don't pay ourselves back with dollars, but with gratification about where we make our mark. Are we affecting some kind of change, or are we being life-giving to people around us?
If we're understanding that everything around us is a gift, a created gift, then we tend to handle it with more gentility than we do when we think something is just a material possession that we can discard.
Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need.
But how do we live this out? If we believe the Bible, how can we translate it into our daily lives? It's a scary prospect to think of changing our lifestyle without knowing what will happen as a result. How can we find joy? Where do we begin?
Credit cards probably are inherently evil. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't have them, but that's also why I know. It makes things too easy. It makes it easy for us to do irresponsible things, that if we didn't have a credit card, if we didn't have a ready cash flow, so to speak, that we would have to think about it, we would have to plan for it, we'd have to decide whether it's important enough to save money to do.
Not choosing to go into debt a lot, not choosing to buy a house that would just cost a lot of money, or to buy a fancy car. And for me, there was freedom with that, because when you don't have the bills and you don't have the monthly payments, you can think about other things, like what you want to do with your time.
After we got so overextended in so many ways, we sold the house and moved down, decreasing our payments and taxes and everything by more than half. And the best thing that did was to buy us time. We didn't have to work as many hours, both of us full time. And so it bought us time with our family, and our kids already were learning that we may have less money and can't keep up with the other families in purchasing clothing, for instance, with certain names on it. But I remember my daughter saying, but we have our dad back, and that made it worthwhile.
Often the most simplest things are the most treasured things, and one of the most treasured things today is time. And we feel that in order to be productive often, or in order to feel our self-worth, that we always have to be busy. Busy doing things, or busy keeping up, or having full agendas, or being on this board meeting, or going to this church meeting. When in reality, that has very little to do with how we love, or reaching out to help someone else, or having special places and time in our day for God.
It's hard to tell somebody who has not had that having it won't solve the problem. You have to have the experience, or some type of experience that brings you to a realization that it's not about things.
I find it's a real sense of liberation for me to understand that no matter what comes into my parameters, into my personal space, that I have an opportunity to say yes or no. And if I say no, very often it may not be no, never again, but no, this is the right thing, but this is not the right timing.
Well, kids are kids, and they do want things. And so we try to oblige them to a point. We practice a game when we go shopping. They can like as much as they want. I like it, I like it, I like it is fine. I want it, I want it, I want it is not fine. And I think that has been helpful because they can like as much as they want, but you don't have to own everything you like.
When our daughter Rose was 13, she wanted to get a job so she could earn some money. But she also was interested in Candy Stripeman at one of the local hospitals here. So we told her, we said if she volunteered, for every hour that she volunteered, we would give her a dollar towards school clothes. So she volunteered 268 hours that summer, treated it like it was a 40-hour week, was able to buy all her own school clothes, which meant she had to decide what was important, an $80 pair of sneakers or three outfits.
Simple life ought to be described with words like celebrative or Eucharistic living, instead of feeling that it's confined and a great poverty. Let's open it up into the fullness that it is.
The world cannot give an American lifestyle to all of its inhabitants. We need to do some evening out in the world, and I think voluntary simplicity is a nice place to start.
It's not an easy task to struggle against a culture so solidly based on buying and consuming.
I still suffer with seeing things that I think I want. But now I take time and I realize that I really don't want them. And that's a good feeling.
It's not easy to walk against the prevailing winds. But our lives, the life of the world, depends on a conversion of the spirit, a transformation of the mind that will begin to set straight the twisted tangle of whom we have become as a people. For what counts in the end? It's people living in a global community perched on a dazzling, God-given blue planet, delicately set in space.
For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Break forth into joy, sing together, for the Lord hath comforted the people.
Be sure to catch the three bonus segments of Break Forth into Joy Beyond a Consumer Lifestyle in the next episode. Now on to simplifying fall festivals. Some folks plan ahead, some not so much. So to meet the needs of those who do, I'll make suggestions in advance, and then in my Simple Living Works blog, I'll repeat them closer to the date for the more spontaneous folks. You may want to see my blog, Work the Plan. There's a link in the show notes. In this episode, I'll introduce you to the last edition of a long-standing alternative staple, the Alternate Celebrations Catalog, first published in 1973, the year Alternatives was founded. For a quick history overview, see the link in the show notes. The last edition, a compilation of the six earlier editions, is called Treasury of Celebrations, published by Northstone in British Columbia, Canada. I'm going to give you a quick overview of the book. No, I'm not going to read all 228 pages. Please hang in there, because you may not need some specific information right now, but someday you'll have a celebration or rite of passage come along and you'll think, oh yeah, that was in the book Jerry was talking about, Treasury of Celebrations, and I can get the information I need to simplify my party right now on the internet. You're welcome. After the overview, I'll focus on fall festivals like Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Advent. I'll pause briefly after the title of each selected article to let it click with you. Yes, there are many. So take a deep breath, relax, and let the possibilities flow over you as you listen. Treasury of Celebrations has four parts. Part 1 is Making Choices, Part 2, Gifts, Part 3, Celebrations, Part 4, Rites of Passage. First, a couple of short quotes from the introduction. Reshaping Our Celebrations. This is a book about joy, spontaneity, caring, justice, and concern for nature. It is a book about celebrating, a book for those who are not satisfied with the models of celebration offered by a consumer society. This book includes the experiences of people with widely varying backgrounds and perspectives, people whose celebrations give voice to the ideals by which they are trying to live. Regaining perspective. Readers may not find the ideal celebration for each holiday or rite of passage. Our intent is to offer possibilities for breaking the tyranny imposed by society and family on celebrations, not to impose new ones. Now, the chapters are really powerful. And although there are many practical tips, this is not about making cheaper party hats. Part 1 is Making Choices, and the first section, Simple Living. And in that section we have the articles, If We Sell You Our Land, Love It, attributed to Chief Seattle. Reverence of Life, A View from the First Nations. 10 Reasons for Choosing a Simpler Lifestyle. Voluntary Simplicity, Lifestyle with a Future? This is by Duane Elgin. And a brief quote, In the years ahead, millions of North Americans may move beyond materialistic values and choose an outwardly more simple and inwardly more rich lifestyle. The phenomenon could foreshadow a major transformation in Western values, with wide implications for future developments in business, technology, and society at large. Some of these moves may come about from an inner longing for something more. Other moves are made as companies downsize, forcing employees to rethink their futures. That from Duane Elgin in Voluntary Simplicity, Lifestyle with a Future? Going on in the Simple Living section, articles Fundamental Change in Values, The Psychology of Consumption, How to Live Better with Less, If You Can Stand the People, and What Can One Person Do? Spread the Word. The next section is Gift Giving, and the articles include Giving and Receiving Gifts, Gifts in the Consumer Society, Double Your Gift of Love, The Hidden Price Tag, On Creative Deprivation, Choosing and Using Toys, and Toys Are Us, A Parent's Perspective. That's from Gift Giving. And now the section on Food and Celebration. Articles include Hunger and the Lifestyle Connection, and Do You Serve Feelings or Food? The last section is Getting Started, and the articles include Family Transition is Half the Battle, One Family's Program for Change, Celebrations in Extended, Single-Parent, and Blended Families, Women and Celebration, The Fable of Maybe Maybe Land, Socializing, Alternative Checklist, How Much is Enough? The Shakertown Pledge, and Conversion, A Letter from Yola. Those are the articles in Part 1. Part 2 is about gifts, and it includes articles Gift Planning, Different Approaches to Gift Giving, Plants, A Gift of Life, Give a Tree, Making Gifts, Woods Treasures, Ideas from Kids, Make Your Own Greeting Cards, Gift Wrapping Ideas, Some of the Best Christmas Gifts, Holiday Gifts from the Kitchen, Books for Teenagers and Adults, Children's Books Are Butterflies, Beyond Disney, Toward Shalom with Books, Storytelling, and Primetime Storytelling. Part 3 of Treasury of Celebrations is about the celebrations, and we'll discuss rites of passages like birthdays and weddings, as well as winter, spring, and summer celebrations in later episodes. I hope some of those clicked with you. I will bring some of them up again in future episodes at appropriate times. Now, if you're eager, you can read them now or anytime for free online in the archives of simpleLivingWorks.org. See the links to Treasury of Celebration in the show notes. In the fall quarter, September through December, we have Labor Day, the beginning of autumn, Rosh Hashanah, or Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Sukkot, the Festival of Booths, and Thanksgiving. In the Thanksgiving section, we have articles Observations of Thanksgiving, 5 Grains of Corn, Thanksgiving in the Woods, Thanksgiving Responsibilities of Abundance, Hunger, Celebrating Individually and as Families, Celebrating as a Congregation, Action Ideas, Study Sessions, Cooperation, Soup Kitchen, A Garden, A Thanksgiving Litany for a Garden, Native Foods, Native Americans, Suggestions for Action. After Thanksgiving, we have World Food Day, and these articles. Resolution on World Hunger, Welcome to the Hunger Restaurant, and Offering of Letters. Next comes United Nations Day, and then Halloween. Here are the articles in the Halloween section. Halloween Lock-In, Community Pumpkin Patch, All Hallows Eve, Fall Festival, Family Halloween Celebration, Finding Acceptable Alternatives, Community Building, Hunger Project, A Note Instead of Candy, Party Activity. After Halloween, we have Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication, and the articles Light in the Subarctic Darkness, On Combining Hanukkah and Christmas, and Hanukkah Challenge for Contemporary America. Then also in this section comes, of course, Advent, with these articles. Advent Promises, Advent Workshop, Advent Wreath, Baby Tree Ornaments, Christmas Cards, Christmas Catalog, Christmas Open Houses, The Cooperative Alternative, Family Cup Celebrations, Gifts of Love, Give Gifts for Self-Reliance, God's Idea of Christmas, Greetings from the Heart, International Christmas, It's Hard to be Merry Sometimes, Kids and Christmas, More Alternative Rituals Shared by Families, New Traditions, Our Alternate Christmas Celebration, Peace Notes at Advent, People's Theater, The Shalom Celebration, St. Nicholas Day, and Stuffed Ornaments. Well, if you feel ambitious enough to have an alternative giving festival, you don't need to start from scratch. Guidelines from experienced folks are in the show notes. Or you may want to add something to your existing fall festival. Plenty of ideas worth considering are given in the show notes. Alternative's legacy resource, called Voluntary Simplicity Study Action Guide, also deals primarily with celebrations. See the show notes for a link to that resource.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.
You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to podcast@simplelivingworks.org or give a message on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. All these addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. If you want to contribute art or an article to the 2013 online edition of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway, see the link to the submission guidelines in the show notes. In episode 5, I'll present part 2, that is the bonus segments of Break Forth into Joy Beyond a Consumer Lifestyle. In later episodes, you can hear the 6-part adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, which includes many of Alternative's audio shorts. Time to wrap up episode 4 of Simple Living Works. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We'd love to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the several blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Remember to like us on Facebook. Urge your friends to do the same. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive our monthly Simple Living Works e-newsletter. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share and Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. Well, until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.